Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Ghost, and I love Him. Today is Monday, November the 22nd, 2021. Monday, November 22nd, 2021. So it's been 5 years since the Lord told me that to tell my people my return is imminent and be ready that they be not left. What an interesting statement that was to me, because I hadn't heard language that way in so long. And now the Lord was telling me personally, and the Lord did tell me that. I thank God for His grace. He gave us 5 years. Now with that, the Lord has, every time people respond in faith, they change the dynamics. The Lord taught me that. And I wondered why. I expected Him to return much sooner than 5 years later. But I know the grace of God. He thinks ahead of time. He knows how to do things. He know how to use time better than we do. He know how long it takes for people to respond. But see, there's a great harvest going on. There's a great move of God happening in current times. There's never been a time on earth that the Lord has been saving people like He's been saving people recently. Now, this, what people will call a revival is when the people of God, they stop being lazy, so to speak, and they get revived and they start being active again. They stop being, you're waking up the sleepy when you have a revival. This is not a revival. This is a move of God. God is saving many millions of people continually. And the Lord showed me this in the early 90s. He said the day will come when 1,000 people will get saved every hour. Now, that number may not appeal to many, but consider it. 1,000 people every hour. That's a lot of people. Not every hour. You don't stop. Because they get saved, they're excited. And they tell their friends. More get saved, they're excited. See, Jesus, the angel told Daniel that knowledge would increase and people would run to and fro. Very important to understand. People are not as uneducated as you might think. The failures of old, as people learn about it, they learn and they do better and they know better. And see, the Lord raised people up to not be swindled. And he told me many years ago that he tried to wake the church up back in the early 90s to some things that they lost. And one is the ability to put God first. And I listen to preachers and I listen to God in my prayer time. I listen to the Holy Spirit. And I have documented writings that I wrote years ago. I looked over them 2 weeks ago. And I'm going to publish those old writings, many of them. And in the writings, the Lord was trying to get His people's attention. But they thought they understood what they needed to understand. I'm not saying these things like, I'm not trying to slight anybody. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. But I thank God for all the preachers that blessed me along the way. But a lot of things were not done to God's perfection. But they were doing the best they knew. Now, to get to the next step, you have to follow Him. God has to take you to the next glory. You can't just pray and go to the next glory. You have to be taken to the next glory. What is the next glory? The next glory is what is the next. It's the next run, like a ladder, and the next run, the next step up to God's plan that He already has in place. Many great men of God have done many great and wonderful things. But see, some things can't be revealed unless people are sincere. And it could have happened if the leadership would have followed God to the next glory. The Lord would have, he would have only, see, the Lord has to work with the thoughts of men first. He has to work with them. It takes time. Now, one scripture says the prophets don't live forever. Not on earth anyway. We live forever in heaven. We live forever on earth. But what the scripture's saying is prophets don't live in this condition forever. They're going to pass on and not be on the earth for a season until Jesus brings us back. So we have a limited time to minister on earth. That's the gist of the scripture. The prophets don't live forever. We die. Death is working against all that enemy hasn't been destroyed yet. It's going to be destroyed last. And I don't care about that. That's fine, because to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul had to decide which one he wanted more. But he says, more needful if I'm here with you. So, and that's true. But apostles don't live forever. Now, we're gonna live forever in Christ, because to die is to be present with the Lord. So we go somewhere, we're just not going to be around anymore, ministering and preaching and teaching. Now, because of the weakness of men and the limitations that are in our culture, the Lord would have had to get all the leaders on board. And I know of local leaders, that pastors, that he was going to raise up to introduce this kind of sincerity. Then the people would follow him, but they declined. What I mean by that is they followed God to their specifications, to their understanding, to their knowledge. They didn't go to the, none of them went to the next glory. And I felt like a failure, because I was, the Lord tasked me with alerting people to it. And he knew what they would do. He knew what would happen. And he gave me peace. And he just showed it to me. He alerted me to something, and everybody took it so lightly. Now, when people follow God, the Lord prepare you from the inside out. And when people get the sincerity back and the heart set to obey God, whatever he say, just like when you find a scripture that's going to solve your problem, you believe it by faith. And then you believe it, you receive it, you believe it, and you act on it, and you get healed, or you get delivered, or you start a business and it's successful. Those are things you petition God for. You stood on the word. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you can ask what you will. People do those things. But they utilize the scriptures more for personal things than the plan of God. Now, when the Lord reveals something to you that's of his plan, you have to take you, or when the Lord teach you something to prepare you for what's next, you have to embrace that word from God, just like you do the scriptures that you know are going to set you forward. So, man don't live by bread alone, but by embracing and receiving and embracing and holding on to every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not just the written word, but the word of the Holy Spirit. When the Lord give us counsel, we embrace that. When the Lord give us wisdom, we embrace that. When the Lord give us knowledge, we embrace that. When he give you knowledge for others, we embrace that as men and women of God. And then we deliver it. We don't fail. We find a way to deliver that message to whoever it should go to. We use our faith to deliver that message to who it should go to. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord taught me how to get through the barriers of the pastors. If you think that going up and giving a pastor a word is easy, it's not. Sometimes you have to make appointments. And the Lord taught me how to get around the barriers. He told me what it, sometimes he he tell me where to go, and the pastor was coming, and I get to talk to him. He taught me sometimes when I have a word, about five or six people will come up asking questions, and they had to, and I had to wait till they were done, because I just had to be patient. All kind of things. It delivering a word, you have to use your faith to deliver the word where it should go. And I had to follow the instructions. Sometimes it was a written word. Sometimes it was a spoken word. Sometimes I could give a portion. If they were inquisitive and asked questions, I'd give them the rest. If they didn't, and the Lord would tell me how to do each one at every event. He said, if they don't ask you, don't give them any more. He trained me for this. I had to receive and embrace the training he gave me. And I had to use my faith to deliver it. So it wasn't all, I did it. Sometimes I'd be nervous. Sometimes I was reluctant, but I did it. Every time I would do it. It was, I know two times I didn't. I waited. I did it another way. I broke protocol twice. But all the other times, I remember, right now, that I remember I did what he gave me to do. Now, and I after I broke protocol, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why did I shouldn't have done that. I vowed that I would follow you, and I repented. So I did it. I tried to make good on it anyway. But nevertheless, when people, God will work with you. If you fail, you're going to fail. I'm sorry. But you, statistically, you will fail somewhere. But you don't have to. If you stick with what God say, and receive and embrace what he say and stick with it, you won't fail. You don't have to fail. It's not written in stone. But statistically, yeah, you're going to fail. Somewhere one day. But if you do, not that you will, if you do, the Lord will give you wisdom. But remember, when you give a person a word, that could help them make their Rebecca choice. Now, another broadcast, I talked about the Rebecca choice. It happens to all of us. One day something's going to happen, and the Lord's going to bring something to you, and you're going to say yes or no. Just and let me explain something about this kind of visitation. The Abraham's servant came to Rebecca. He came to her father's house. She had her father's consent and her brother's consent and her family's consent. They said, because the father said she can go. But the Lord, that wasn't good enough. The Lord wanted her to decide. So he set up something so it got down to her choice. Because Abraham said, if the damsel won't come with you, don't go back. All right? This was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And it happens to all of us. One day something's going to happen. The Lord's going to tell you to do something. And it's going to be yes or no, whether you go to the next glory or not. And if you say no or chicken out, you'll never get that opportunity back. And I don't know when that's going to. That's why it's so important for people to follow God. Now the Lord had another plan. You know, and that he taught me about. I didn't want him to, you have to use that plan. I wanted him to use the first one because he said it would be better if my people follow me now. It would have been a greater harvest. They would have been wealthier. They would have been wiser. They would have lived in the counsel of God. And the wicked would, they wouldn't have been able to fortify themselves like they have done. But they fortified themselves because we didn't go to their next glory like we should have. But it's not over. The Lord raised up people around the church. He raised up individuals. Now, I got confirmation. I'm not just talking. I got confirmation on these things through many ways. The Lord raised up people nobody knew nothing about. Now, and I'm looking at the time frame. The Lord was in the works raising up people, unknown people. They weren't even saved yet. He wasn't even saved yet. And he raised him up to do great works. And he deployed him. I remember Perry Stone talking about a man was going to have a prayer meeting in the park. Unknown guy. Now, he wasn't a well-known. He wasn't famous. Now, check this out. There was very little advertisement about it, but 3,000, it was several thousand people showed up. Several thousand people showed up. As if it would have been somebody like Billy Graham coming. But nobody knew this guy. See, when God do something, he can do it by the Holy Spirit. Another time, and this was before, this was in the late 80s, I guess, or early 90s maybe. Marilyn Hickey she was in one of the Middle Eastern countries. She had a meeting there. Well, those are Muslim radio stations. Somebody got on the Muslim radio station and said that the meeting was canceled. Well, she went on and had it anyway. And about 3,000 people showed up. And at the end of the meeting, she said, "How did y'all know to come?" Because the radio said it was canceled. And they said the Holy Spirit sent us. See, people don't know what the Holy Spirit can do. And because they didn't go to the next glory, they were excluded from even knowing about it. I knew it because God told me. He said, if they don't, just like God, when Israel got in idolatry, God raised up, Isaiah prophesied that he would take Balaam out of their mouth. And here it is almost 100 years later, I guess, when Jeremiah was on the scene. Jeremiah, here he is, a young man. The Lord told him that he would raise up nations and throw down nations. I'll read it. Now, this is Jeremiah 1, verse 1. The word of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. So he was a young man, yeah. And it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. Now think about this. Who made him think he was a child? Just consider that. The culture did. The predecessors did. Okay, let's continue. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of thy faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Now listen. Paul told Timothy, don't let anybody despise your youth. That's the same thing God said in Jeremiah. Who told you was a child? Now, also, I want to point something out. He's a young man. Why didn't God use one of the older prophets? See, sometimes the Lord has to go around culture because it allowed insincere pride to creep in. God cannot use people with pride in their heart. They must be sincere. They must be able to make adjustments after the Holy Spirit speaks. They must be able to receive every word that the Holy Spirit speaks. They must embrace it and use their faith to carry it out. Not just things they want, but first, the first fruits are the things that God wants. Now people teach, give God the first fruit of your tithes. But in their prayers, they put their prayers first, not what God brought to them to do. See, what God gave you to do, that's your real first fruit. That's what you put first. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added. But people have done goofy things to get things. They use their best prayers on stuff. And they don't even know it. The faith message should have included, it should have started with, you believe for what God would give you. Believe for what God is trying to get over to you. Give God your, use your faith to give God your attention. That should have been the first, that should have been the first thing done. But they taught it. And they people use that faith to get stuff. You got to start somewhere. I understand that. But because Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that should have been implemented first. Well, a child will obey when an adult won't sometimes. In this case, it was Jeremiah. He said, be not afraid of thy faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. Now watch this. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set thee, you, young man, over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, and to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. See, these things are going to hurt. It's not going to be like the old times. And I was just last night, the guys that was in the band with me, some of us, we got together and we had a Bible study. And I said, listen, the things you learn from the Lord, use it because it's going to happen fast. And I didn't intend to say that, but that's what came up. Just like he saw the rod of an almond tree. He said, I will hasten my word to perform it. He said, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. 13. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said to me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord. And they shall come, and they shall set everyone against everyone his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods. See that? He's going to judge it, and worship the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. God means it when he said, don't let people despise your youth. Who said you was a child? He said, see, this day I have set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. And this happened too. Then he said this. Verse 18. For behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. Why would, consider this for a moment, verse 18. This is very interesting. He said, I made you a defensed city, Jeremiah. And an iron pillar. Now watch this. And brazen walls. You know, as a mechanic, we don't just use our steel hammers and iron hammers. We use iron hammers to break in pieces. Now iron is good and strong. Steel is better. But they had iron in those days. We use brass hammers because brass won't damage the Babbitt bearings that we have to drive in. Brass is a hard, it'll drive, but it'll gouge and it won't spark. So if you're beating something around gas, you always use brass because it won't start, spark and make a fire. And also it'll gouge. It's softer than iron and it'll protect what you're hitting. It'll drive it in without hurting it. So when the wicked come against him, it's soft. It's hard enough to withstand and soft enough not to hurt him. So the Lord used two things. You got an iron pillar within and brazen walls without, against the whole land. Now watch this. Against the culture of the day, which starts with the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, their spoiled brat children, and against the priest thereof. Why? Because the priest went sideways. They didn't stick to the love of God. They didn't do what was best. They didn't go to the next glory either. And against the people of the land, they were all consumed with Baal worship and idolatry, selfishness. The Lord, you know, the Lord showed us a snapshot of their culture. He said, let all of your brothers go free. And they did for a while. Then they turned. See, the whole society had become corrupt and selfish and indifferent to the things of God. So God raised up a man outside the culture to come and deal with the problem. He said, they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. All right. This is what God told Jeremiah. It's so relevant to today and what's going on. So God raised up somebody from the outside of everything to change everything. Now, I love this part. This is Jeremiah chapter 27, verse 1. Now, hear what Jeremiah has said. Now, in earlier chapters, he dealt with Israel. But watch this. He dealt with Jerusalem. But in this, verse 1, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord to me, make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck, and send them to the king of Edom, and to the king of Moab, and to the king of the Ammonites, to the king of Tyrus, and to the king of Zidon, by the hand of the messengers which come to Jerusalem unto Zedekiah, king of Judah. And command them, now watch this, command them to say to their masters, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say unto your masters, I have made the earth, the man, the beast, that are upon the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm. And I have given it to whom, unto whom it seemed fit to me, or meet unto me. And now have I given all these lands unto the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant. And the beast of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him and his son, and his son's son, until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword and with the famine, and with the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Therefore, hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you, to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, and ye should perish. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord. And they shall till it and dwell therein. I spake also to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, and serve him and his people, and live. Why will ye die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore hearken not to the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. See, the culture went rogue, and the prophets did too. Now watch this. For I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, and that ye might perish, ye and the prophets that prophesy unto you. Also I spake to the priest and to all this people, saying, thus saith the Lord, hearken not to the words of your prophets that prophesy unto you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house shall now shortly be brought again from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. Hearken not unto them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Wherefore should this city be laid waste? But if they be prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and at Jerusalem go not to Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, concerning the pillars, concerning the sea, and concerning the bases, and concerning the residue of the vessels that remain in this city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took not when he carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles